So when I read this passage, I couldn't understand it. And so I looked for an explanation in the commentaries. But commentary did not say anything about this sentence. I was dissatisfied with the commentary, because we always expect the commentary to explain such points. And at this place, it's silent. And what about sub-commentary saying? So it gives a lot of dukkha. And so I wanted to give dukkha to you too. So you have to think about it until next class. Okay, next question. Do plants, trees, rocks and animals have karma? Maybe to many of you it is a silly question. But there may be some people, hopefully not among you, who may think that there is karma to plants, trees and so on. So this question is put here. So according to Theravada Buddhism, plants, trees and rocks are not living beings. They are not regarded as living beings. Although in some way plants may be said to have life. But that is not life taught in Abhidhamma. So plants, trees and rocks are not living beings, and as such, they have no karma. Although they have no karma, they are nevertheless dependent on other material conditions like moisture, temperature, nutrition and so on. So although they have no karma, they depend on conditions to arise and to exist. So they are also dependent on some conditions, although they have no karma. And the causal relationship between inanimate things will be explained with reference to Patthana. Now, animals are living beings. They have all five aggregates as we human beings do, and so they are living beings. As living beings, they have karma. Animals acquire karma or accumulate karma, and animals are born as animals as a result of akusala karma in the past. So animals have karma, and they perform karma. But plants, trees, rocks, and other inanimate things have no karma. Now, there are some statements in Visuddhimagga regarding karma and results, and they are noteworthy. So, we should note them. Now, while karma and results thus causally maintain their round, as seed and tree succeed in turn, no first beginning can be shown. Now, karma and results follow each other. And there is karma, and then there is the result of karma. Now, see, there is kusala or akusala karma, and as a result of kusala and akusala karma, there is rebirth. In four woeful states, or in human beings, or in celestial beings. And during that existence, beings acquire new karma. And then there is the result of that karma in the future. And so karma and its results go on and on and on like that, like a seed and the tree. So there is a seed, and then it grows into a tree, and then that the tree gives seed, and then seed into tree, and so on. Or we can say the hen and the egg, right? Go on and on and on. So there is no first beginning. No first beginning can be shown. we can go back. But however far we go back, we will never reach the beginning. So there is no first beginning of karma and results. Although karma and results, there is the rolling on of karma and results in this round of rebirths. And nor in the future round of births can they be shown not to occur. And in the future, they will surely arise. Because when there is karma at present, then there will be result of karma in the future. Now, in Samkhya philosophy, which is one of the six classical Hindu philosophies, it is believed that the result already exists in the cause, but in an unmanifest form. So when it becomes manifest, it becomes the result. So according to that philosophy, the result is already in the cause. So the cause becomes mature, and when it reaches the highest stage of maturity, it becomes the result. So in that philosophy, karma or cause and result are same. But Buddhism does not accept that. In Buddhism, it is taught that karma is one thing and result is another. So here, Visuddhimagga said, there is no karma in result, nor does result exist in karma. So there is no karma in result and no result in karma. They are just two different things. Though they are void of one another, though they are different from one another, there is no fruit without the karma, but there can be no result without the karma. So they are related as cause and effect, but cause is one thing and effect is another. They are not identical. As fire does not exist inside the sun, a gem, cow dung, nor yet outside them, but is brought to be by means of components or by means of conditions. Now, when there is sunshine and there is cow dung or small pieces of wood or pieces of paper, and you put a magnifying glass between them and concentrate the rays on the pieces of paper or cow dung, the fire is produced. So here it says, fire does not exist inside the sun, inside a gem, or inside cow dung. Because if fire exists in the sun, I mean the rays of the sun, or the gem or cow dung, they will be burning. They will always be burning. But fire is not in them. And so they are not burning when they are put separately. But when they are put together, then there is fire. So fire does not exist in the sun or in the gem or in the cow dung. Then where does it exist? Outside there? We cannot say that fire exists somewhere apart from these three things. But fire is brought to be, fire is produced by means of the components, by means of these conditions. The conditions here means the sun, a gem, or a magnifying glass, and cow dung. So when these three are put together, then there is fire. But fire does not exist in the sun, gem, and cow dung. And without these three things, fire cannot be produced. So in the same way, there is no result in the karma and no karma in the result. Results be found within the karma, nor without. Nor does the karma still persist in the result it has produced. So there is no result found in the karma or outside the karma or without the karma. And the karma still persists, nor does the karma still persist in the result. So karma does not persist in the result. That means karma is not in the result it has produced. The karma of its fruit is void. So karma is void of its fruit. Karma is void of the result. No fruit exists yet in karma, and there is no fruit in the karma. And still, the fruit is born from it. The result is born from karma, wholly depending on the karma. So wholly depending on the, totally depending on the karma, the result is produced. For here there is no god or Brahma, creator of the round of rebirths. So this round of rebirth is not the creation of a god or a Brahma, but they are natural outcome of karma. So karma and its results, or the phenomena alone, flow on. So they roll on and on and on, cause and component, and they are conditioned. So they are conditioned by their cause, and they are conditioned by the conditions. And so dependent upon the cause and conditions, these mental and physical phenomena flow on and on and on. And in this flow on of mental and physical phenomena, which is called the round of rebirths, there is no god or no Brahman who creates this round of rebirths. So just mental and physical phenomena dependent upon the conditions flowing on and on. Some benefits of understanding the law of karma. So we, as Buddhists, we understand the law of karma following the teachings of the Buddha. And this understanding of law of karma has many benefits, and here are some of them. So it satisfies our curiosity about inequality among beings. See, we want to know why beings are different, why beings are not equal, although they are equal as beings, as human beings, or animals as animals. And this inequality among beings is satisfactorily explained by the law of karma. The understanding of law of karma satisfies our curiosity about inequality among beings. It is no wonder that understanding of law of karma has converted many people to Buddhism. And understanding of law of karma gives us hope. There is always hope that we can be better. we are not to be satisfied with, say, what condition we are in, but we can always improve our condition by doing a good karma. So it gives us the law, the understanding of the law of karma gives us hope. So we are never hopeless. And the understanding of law of karma can give us consolation in times of misfortune. Now people meet with misfortune many times in their lives, loss of wealth, loss of business, loss of job, loss of friends, loss of loved ones. And when they meet with such misfortunes, those who do not understand the law of karma cannot be consoled. They might even become dejected, very dejected, and they might even take their own lives. But those who understand the law of karma can understand the misfortune, because this misfortune comes as a result of what say, they did in the past, and so there is no other person to blame but themselves, and so people can be consoled with the understanding of law of karma. And it gives us strength to meet the ups and downs of life without agitation. Now, when we lead a life, there are ups and downs in our lives. We cannot avoid meeting success, meeting failure in our lives. So whether we meet with success or failure, we can stand firm. We can meet these situations without much agitation. And it is important that we be without agitation when we meet with success or failure. Because now when people meet with success, they are elated, and when they meet with failure, they are dejected, and so their lives become miserable. But if we understand the law of karma, we can take them as they come without much agitation. It teaches us to realize our potential to create our own future. Now we get the results of our own karma. So we can create our own future. We have the potential to create our own future if we understand the law of karma. And not only realizing the potential, but we can use this potential, say, to make our future lives better than the present ones. So it teaches us that we beings have this potential to create our own future, and we need not look to other external powers or deities for our own future. Actually, we alone can create our future. And the understanding of law of karma teaches the individual responsibility. Since the results we experience are caused by our own karma, we alone are responsible for our enjoyment or our suffering. So, since we are responsible for our own happiness or suffering, we are not to blame others, say, for our conditions. So it teaches that we are responsible for ourselves, and if we want to be better in the future, we must acquire a good karma. So we become responsible persons if we understand the law of karma. And it teaches us to avoid harming other beings and to be compassionate to other beings. Now, if we harm other beings, we will suffer the painful consequences of our karma. So if we do not want to suffer ourselves, then we do not inflict suffering on others, and so it helps us to avoid harming or injuring the other beings. And it teaches us to be compassionate to other beings, because by being compassionate to other beings, we develop good karma, which will give good results in the future. So, understanding the law of karma can help us to make the society more humane and more peaceful and more harmonious. There may be some more benefits of understanding the law of karma. So I want you to make additions to this list yourselves. So we have now studied karma in general, say what karma is and what we can do about karma and so on. Next time we'll study the different kinds of karma. Okay. You asked me on Sunday.